Welcome to the Jamoti Podcast. We are all surrounded by amazing coaches and leaders. So let's get an inside look at not just what they do, but how they do what they do. After all, becoming the best versions of ourselves is Jamoti, just a matter of doing it. I do love getting to talk about style of play. I love the way we play, but I also really enjoy getting to learn about other coaches' style of play, things that they love, and to hear the passion for what they believe. Because one coach I was talking to, Joe Lombard, that yeah, I was talking about. Some coach I was talking to. 1,400 wins, whatever, 19th digit. But, you know, he just kept making the comment, there's so many different ways that you can win, like so many different ways that you can play. So I think that's really important for me as somebody that is sold out to their style, not to continue to learn of how other people play. What's your favorite style of play to teach?
Like you.
Now like, it is fun like when you. Yeah.
I mean, you know, when I was in Houston, we were number one in the city in Houston in scoring. I mean, we ran, Kenny Hoffpower? You heard of Kenny Hoffpower?
I read and rotate and squeeze and all. Yeah, his pressing system. Oh, yeah.
So he came in after I left Glenrose.
Yeah, because he was Coach Garnett. Me. He was Matt Garnett's coach there.
He came in behind me.
Yep.
Okay. And when he came in that spring, me and him spent a lot of time together. And he taught me that whole press.
Yep.
90. Like, so I took it and went to Farmington, to Kirtland Central. We had a lot of success. Then I went to Houston and ran it. So that's whenever I really started jumpstarting and wanting to play faster and understanding pressing better. And so we started running that and learned a lot from it. Sometimes we'll even go back to it, even at Texan. I've jumped back into a little bit of 90 here and there.
Hmm.
But I learned a lot from him, and I guess that's how I like to play. I like to be, if you had to sum up what we do, it would be we play with pace and we are trying to be disruptive on defense. If you want to get just to the simplicity of using a few words, just like Costin was really good at, I think it was Tabor, the coach at Crum, he had like some really cool words that he was using. Yeah. I love that stuff. Like, that's kind of us. I mean, we're going to play with some pace now. And we're going to try to be disruptive on defense. And I think where I probably failed is sometimes the big games, like the state championship game we lost to Grayford, probably got a little conservative.
Hmm.
Got a little conservative. And the size of the gym floor.
Yeah.
Bigger. I mean, it's not just the arena, but the floor.
More space favors the offense, no doubt.
Yeah, so I like get that conservative. Like, yeah. And even last year, we got beat by Naz in the regional quarterfinals. I mean, that's one of the more painful losses that I've had. It's on me, man. I probably got a little bit conservative, and some of it was just shots didn't go early, and we couldn't really set our press.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I like to – like right now in practice – yesterday, we did a 4-on-3 to 4-on-4 cutthroat drill. So it's a 4-on-3 to 4-on-4 where we have this continuous advantage on both ends going with 12 players. Love it.
Yeah.
We do this Arkansas 3-team transition that I got from Mike Neighbors. Do it almost twice a week right now. So we're doing a lot of that transition with advantages, creating advantages, and then we are shooting a ton. And getting these kids to understand reads, you know, how to make reads, you know, see a gap, drive it. I mean, you got space, you got that bubble, you got to be ready to shoot it. It's the same thing, man. It's 0.5 stuff.
I love what you said about like teaching them reads, getting shots up, and also learning, getting them to play in those situations. I believe this is the time for that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I'm all for skill work. I mean, I like the idea that everything we do is skill work, all of it. That's what Doug Novak said, and I agree with that. But I think this is the time to teach them how to, I love the 0.5, how to play with that type of quick decision making. Because the failure, I think if you wait until the season starts, you and I both know it takes time to become instinctive in that. Because when we tell players, you're thinking too much, one, I don't really care for that. I don't like to stop thinking, just play. What does that even mean, coach? How do I not think? We don't want that. We want their thinking to be faster. We want their decision-making to be instinctive. That starts now so that when our season begins and we can start to put continuities and more concepts on, man, they have a really good base for it. So I think you're right on the money.
Yeah. Playing fast is not as easy as people think it is. They think it's just melee and, you know, it's junk or it's like pickup. And it's like, man, do you want to play fast? You think you want to play fast? Let's see if you really want to play fast. I mean, it's not like crazy fast. It's not like Westhead stuff, you know, or some of the stuff you even dabbled into a little bit.
Yeah, it's sustainable, though. I think there is a speed out there that is sustainable, and you have to find that right speed for your clientele.
Right.
Because you can try some things like I have that don't fit the horses you have. There's going to be frustration on either side.
Right. Right. No, it's again, it comes back to it's a fine line. It's a fine line. Our shot selection sometimes, fine line. I get criticized for sometimes us not taking, we take some crazy shots like the kid who hit the three for the state championship win. Yo-yoed it back. You just don't see it at the 1A level. But he did that against Naz at Naz in the third quarter when we're up 12. And I'm like, Will, why in the hell are you taking that shot? It's like, coach, I thought I could make it. I'm like, I'm with you now.
Yeah,
and, you know,
yeah.
But the point is to play this way, you have to play this way. Like you have to practice this way. Like we're doing it with sixth graders, seventh graders, and eighth graders in our junior high period. We're running Arkansas three-team transition early. Like it'll make your eyes bleed. Or, you know what I'm saying? It's not always pretty. But then all of a sudden, you start seeing some things, and as they're playing games, they're developing skills and they're starting to figure stuff out, and you can just let them play and keep saying, figure it out. Although sometimes you have to stop and say, look right here, man, if you would have just caught it and drove it, you were going to be right in that gap where you could have kicked it. But like we're throwing like one-handed passes and we're doing stuff that people are like, why are you letting your players throw one-handed passes? And I'm like, this is 2023.
Yeah.
Like, they have to have the ball away from the defense.
That's right.
You know, I mean, we're not just holy gully, but it's fun. I love it. The players love it. It's competitive every day. It's developing toughness every day. It's valuing and highlighting the kind of choices they're making every day. And guess what? All of those things transfer right to life.
Mm. Yeah. You know, you have a good system when players are improving in it. Like, just take a step back and ask yourself, are my players individually getting better, you know, from the style of play that we have? Not just one or two of them, not just your best players, but, you know, across the board. Yeah. I love the idea of you having some of those same concepts going down to junior high, because I never think it's too early to start. Having them play and learn, Brian, and golly, there's so many good things, coach, that you said, but you know, I wonder how many coaches. So I like the games approach, teaching from a game. Cause what happens there, I would imagine from Arkansas three, you know, the transition game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that you learn from watching them where their biggest deficiencies lie instead of breakdown, all good stuff, all stuff they need to know. What if they already know that? Like, what if they're already good at some of those things and you're not, and that's not necessarily wasting time, but they could be doing other things.
Yeah. I mean, and it's like, we'll rep out some stuff where it's block, you know, like shooting and even some jump stops and some stuff they have to, you know, and more with the younger, but at the same time, we're going to probably work our way through those things and hit them pretty hard and demand that they do these certain things. They have to be able to jump stop. They have to be shot ready. They have to understand how to bunny hop into a shot. That's rep, part of our warm up. Then we're going to throw them into some small sided games. We're going to jump right into some kind of a 4-on-3, some kind of an advantage, some kind of where they're making reads, more controlled with younger, less controlled with older. But at the same time, we're probably going to keep score. And there's probably going to be a winner and a loser because that brings edge. That's going to bring some edge to the table, which is you got to have it. And so we're just continuously, and it's like I was telling our girls coach, and our girls coach played for me his senior year when I was at Texline, Dawson Nicholson. He's like my young mentor. He's like my reverse mentor. I mean, he's great, but we talk all the time. And it's like, you got to have these kids doing this stuff. You got to have them rep this stuff out. I mean, you've got to layer this stuff. And you know what we're trying to do is get our kids' skill level to such a high point that it's like a layer of armor. That when you throw in the toughness and the competitive spirit and being a great teammate, and seemed like there was something else that I said to him yesterday that was all part of that, you're probably going to have a lot of success if you can develop that skill set. And at the 1A level, I understand 1A level is different than 5A, 6A, even than your level.
But it's all relative. I mean,
it is.
Yeah,
it is. You can maybe take a few more chances. You can jump on a kid or two and triangle into them. Take their best player out, maybe a little bit easier at this level, or force them to their weak hand. But at the same time, I mean, just the reps that they're getting and the decisions that they're having to make and the conditioning that they're getting. I mean, I used to be like, yeah. I played for coaches in college and high school, man. It's like after you get through practice and we're running 12 suicides today. Like, and you got to make each one under 35 seconds. So it's like you're holding out all day. Like, I'm sitting there with butterflies in my stomach at fifth period. I know I got to run 12 suicides after a three-hour practice. Yep. It's amazing that we all did it back then. Now it's like we're getting the majority of our conditioning in what we're doing and how we're playing. And it, like I said, it's not like I'm having to show up every day breathing fire.
Right.
Like, I'm going to carry a whip into the gym. You know, like, guys, we're going to learn man-to-man defense today, and you're going to get your butts down and you know, guard the ball and deny the wing. And it's like, used to do some of that stuff, man. I just have found this way to be the best way to play that fits me and fits our kids.
To your point about maybe pulling back at times, I think any style that you choose as a coach, there's going to be a time where you're tested in that style, where there's this idea that, okay, if we broke away from this and did something different, man, maybe that could help us or not. It always makes me think back to when Coach Watson and I at McKinney wanted to start running and gunning. Neither of us had really ever done it before. I wanted to do the 4-out-1 and dribble drive that Calipari was making big. He wanted to do Hoff Powers pressing system. And so first game, I think we're at Plano, and it's not going well, Coach. Like, they're scoring on us easily. Dribble drive looks a little bit rough. Yeah. And I can remember Coach Watson looking down at me going, should we get out of this? Like, do we get out? And I there's a part of me that thought, like, heck yeah. I mean, I'm not the head coach, but like, this is your job. But then for whatever reason, it was a lucky moment, I think, of just going, thinking, no, like, stay with it. Like, stay the course. It's percentages. Like, we just keep grinding, keep going and give it time and it'll work. And it's kind of like what he says in Remember the Titans about his six plays that he runs. Just give it time. It's like Novocaine. It's give it time. It always works.
Yeah.
And we did. We stuck with it. But then later on that the next year, we're playing Sauk in the playoffs and they're better at what we do than we are. So do we do something different? No. We just stay the course. So I think there is that point where whatever you do choose, that moment is going to come when you're going to be tested to abandon what you've been doing. You've been talking this whole time about building a culture and a toughness in your players. I think that toughness has to come from us and our resolve that we have when we want to maybe abandon that style of play.
Yeah, those are good points, man. Those are absolutely great points. And, you know, again, there's very few absolutes, and you have to be flexible, and you have to have being able to you know, look at an opponent and make some subtle adjustments. Where I think that probably, and this, here's something that's going on right now at Texline. We just built a brand new parking lot. We put a brand new gym floor on our main court. And we're right now in the process of building a brand new practice gym. We're building our brand new practice gym 90 feet by 50 feet, not 84 by 50 feet. We're building it so that we can practice on it when we start heading into the playoffs, and we're going to be at South Plains, and hopefully, knock on wood, and we have a little bit of luck, we stay healthy, we can get back to San Antonio. My point is, when you get on that bigger court, the angles, defensively especially, are different, and you have to come from different angles to do the traffic. And at the same time, I mean, bottom line, you got to score. You have to get some points on the board so you can kind of set.
Yeah.
And, you know, whenever we got Rayford beat us, and a lot of it, Coach Bell, I mean, he's absolutely outstanding defensive coach.
He's good,
Yeah, and Naz, same thing. I mean, they had a lot of seniors, and Taylor is an outstanding coach, and Naz has got such deep tradition. But so you just keep learning. And, you know, like this year's team is different than last year's team. We're way longer. We're skinnier. We're going to do some things a little bit differently. You know, we're going to play more zone. We're going to change up our defenses even more. But I'm super excited about it because it just poses us new challenges and new opportunities.
And I'm all for adjustments. And I think the beauty is when you are basing what you're doing more on concepts, you can adjust concepts all day long. Straight up different continuities, or because even between man and zone, many of your concepts can be the same. Like just because we run a 3-2 doesn't mean we're not talking man-to-man concepts throughout, right? So I think that's it. Like going back to the very beginning of our talk of knowing who you are as a coach and spending that time learning and pulling all these things is like you gotta figure out what concepts do I like to teach, what am I comfortable teaching, what concepts will work well for my players that also allow me the flexibility. To like again in the 3-2, we can pull back in if we're playing a bigger team. We can stretch out if we feel like their guard play is a little bit weak. We can go up into almost a diamond press and then drop our middle man back. So I do agree with you. Like changing things up, making those adjustments, huge. Knowing those concepts though, I think really important.
Yeah, I loved how you ran that zone. I mean, I sat there and I was like, what the heck is this? I'm trying to figure it out.
And like, that's how I felt. That's how I felt when I got the film on it, because I talked to one of the assistants at Birdville at church. I asked him how his day, and we, coach, I was a floundering man-to-man coach. I'd always run it. We had pressed a little bit when I first got to Faith, and then went more man. We were pack line. I realized when we run pack line, we can't score. Like we were scoring 40, 50 points a game. That's not our style. But right. The defensive side was, I felt like slowing us down a little bit. And so I just frustrated with that. And I talked to this guy. He's like, yeah, we're 7-2, man. This zone we're doing is just really good. I'm like, oh, okay. Like a zone. Like, come on. I don't even want to hear about it. But he said, no, you should look at it. And I'm watching film on it. And I'm like, I don't know what the rules are. Like, I don't understand. Like, why is he over there now? Like, what are they trying to do? And it does, it morphs and moves. So anyway.
Yeah. Well, I just believe in this, and I believed in this for a long time now since I've been at Textline. We're going to try to do everything we can to not let you do what you want to do. And so playing man-to-man plays right into Jayton, plays right into Naz, plays right into Grayford. They all run shuffle motion. They all run circle motion. They shuffle cuts. They're like Indiana Hoosiers. They will move the ball, and they will beat you. They will go side to side 8 times if they have to. And then they'll hit a guy cutting. Eventually, he's going to be wide open. They're disciplined. They're excellent man-to-man teams. It's like playing Virginia. I mean, so it's like, okay, what can we do to counter that? What can we do to take our kids that we have and let's try to – and that's really where a lot of where we just keep evolving, because here's what I have on the board, Coach. And I think I heard – I don't remember if it was somebody you had on your podcast, but his goal going in – was how do we win our last game? What are we going to do to win our last game, period? And so it's up there. What do we have to do to win our last game? And so a lot of what we're doing is that's factoring into it. You know, I remind them to it about it almost daily. And that helps with us in terms of how we're trying to play, which there's nothing that's ever going to get like way crazy. We're not going from black to white ever. from one extreme to the other. Never. It's always somewhere in there where you said it, concepts, offensive concepts, defensive concepts, absolutes. You got to jump to the ball on defense. I don't care what you're running.
Yep.
When the ball moves, you better be moving. And so, those concepts are always going to be hit on and we're going to be worked on. And so, but from that, we can do a lot of different stuff out of it, defensively and offensively.
Thank you for checking out today's episode. Please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast, share it with your fellow coaches, and find us on social media for what's coming up next on the Jamoti Podcast. It's just a matter of doing it.